You're listening to the teaching ministry of Michael Williams, pastor of International Outreach Church, located in Wills Point, Texas. Get ready to be challenged, charged, and changed by the Word of God which you're about to receive.
Turn with me to Proverbs 10. I have something on my heart I want to share with you tonight, just something I was meditating on. I find that usually if I need it, you need it. I mean, if it's, you know, if it comes alive to me, it's going to come alive to you. I mean, that's why I like to preach by inspiration. I study all the time, and I generally have a track I'm running on, but I like to, you know, I like to preach what's hot in me, what's stirring in me. I actually had another message altogether I'd been studying, but right before I left, this came alive to me, and I thought, man, I'd have to share that. Everybody ready?
Yes.
Proverbs 10, yeah. Y'all found Proverbs 10? Proverbs 10, you know, let me kind of set this up. I know that we live in a volatile economy and live in times that are seemingly tough. There's a lot of economic doom and gloom prognosticators, you know, that would pronounce doom on us and the future. We've got a lot of things going on politically in our country that have financial ramifications. You know, that if this legislation continues, then it's going to hurt us economically if we don't repeal this universal health care and so on and so forth. A lot of different things you could bring up, not to be political, but, you know, you live in a world, you hear these things. You're not immune to hearing them. You have newspapers, you have news outlets, and then people on the street. I mean, if you get gas, the gas station, somebody's going to bring up these kinds of things. And if you're not careful, you'll buy the big lie. The big lie's not all that. Those things happen. They come, they go. Economies go up and down. You know, presidents change. You know, parties change. Who rules Congress? Who rules the presidency? And so on and so forth. That's a constant changing thing because that's man. But God never changes.
Right.
And the big problem, the big lie that we buy sometimes is that all that determines our future. All those things out there determine whether we're going to have a good life, a blessed life, or whatever. That's the lie that we buy. We may be concerned about some of those things, and there are facts involved, and we know there are certain policies that do help the economy and hurt the economy, and I understand all that. But see, my future and my destiny and my prosperity is really not contingent on that. It's not based on something that changeable, that out of my control, as it were. Because that really is out of our control. I mean, we can vote, but you know, if there's more people vote the opposite of you vote, then your vote's not going to help. If you happen to be in the majority, yeah, you can make some good changes, and we ought to all vote. We should. But I'm not fixing to fall into that trap of thinking that my prosperity, my blessing, are you with me? And my future is determined by anything other than my faith in God. That's what we've got to get straight. And we've got to keep that straight. And really, the Bible is pretty plain along those lines. Notice what it says here in Proverbs 10, verse 22. The blessing of the Lord makes rich. Makes one rich. It maketh rich, I think King James says. And he adds no sorrow with it. Hallelujah, somebody. So if we're going to get rich in a good sense, I mean, there's a biblical rich. There's a good rich. I mean, where you prosper and you... You know, you get your houses paid for, cars paid for, and you have nice things, and you bless people, and you love people, and you help people. Now, that's a good rich. That's the way it should be. But how do you get rich? Well, I want to tell you how you can get rich. By the blessing of the Lord. The blessing of the Lord makes rich. Well, if they get this economy turned around, or if the stock market turns around, or, you know, which stock market, I think, went over 12,000 a day. If you're interested in those kind of things. But if this happens and that happens, no, really, all I need on me is the blessing of the Lord. Because the blessing of the Lord makes rich.
Praise God. Right, that's right.
Got a couple of you. What you have to decide is, are you a candidate for His blessing?
Yes.
Are you blessed? You don't need Lady Luck. You need the Father's favor.
Yeah.
Is what you need. And God gives favor. He surrounds the righteous with favor like a shield.
Right.
Psalms 5 tells us that. So I've been made righteous through the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. I've been born again. How about you? Everybody in here saved? I'm looking around. I know everybody here. We've been made righteous by the blood of the Lord Jesus. Just by virtue of being saved, He surrounds the righteous with favor like a shield. We are His kids.
Amen.
He is our daddy. The Lord is our shepherd. We shall not want or lack. And so our trust and our faith is in Him. And we're praying for our country, and we're praying for our economy, and we're praying for presidents and Congress and, you know, leaders of our nation, and we should do that. We have a mandate as Christians to pray for our nation. But see, our trust is not in that or in them. Our trust is in God. And I can get excited, hallelujah, no matter what's going on in the world, because the blessing of the Lord maketh rich, and He addeth no sorrow with it. Hallelujah.
Amen.
That's why I can say, when someone says, "How you doing?" I can say, "I'm blessed." Blessed and can't be cursed. Woo! Blessed by the best. Too blessed to be stressed. Too anointed to be disappointed. Now, make that statement on the basis of God's Word, what God says. Now, we know it's true. We know that. How about saved? Are you saved? How do you know you're saved? Well, I mean, you know by the witness on the inside of you, but you have scriptures along those lines. You've accepted Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. If someone would challenge you on that, you could take them to John 3:16 or Romans 10:9 or some scripture that talks about confessing Jesus and accepting Jesus and declaring Jesus as Lord, and you'd be saved, and you could say, "Look, I did that. God said that if I confess in my mouth the Lord Jesus, believe in my heart that God has raised Him from the dead, I shall be saved. I've done that, and I am saved."
Amen.
Hallelujah. Got God's Word on the matter.
Amen.
"For God so loved the world, He gave His only begotten Son, that whoever believes in Him would not perish, but have everlasting life. I have believed in Him, therefore I will not perish. I have everlasting life." I have God's Word on the matter.
Amen.
"Well, do you know what's going on in the country today?" "Yeah, but that doesn't have anything to do with me being saved."
That's right.
Are you out there? "Did you hear the news this week?" "Well, yeah, I watched the news, but you know, I'm saved because I believe in Jesus."
Right.
Now, I'm going somewhere now. Stay with me. How about the economy? Better tighten that belt. I'm telling you what, now we're just not going to, I don't know if we're going to make it. "Did you hear the news?" "Well, I'm blessed because the blessing of the Lord makes rich." It's the blessing of the Lord that makes me rich. And long, you know, it's not even everybody else's giving. I say this every once in a while. You know, Brent and I, of course, are on an offering basis, always have been since we started the church. We don't get a salary from the church. And that's you know, we just go by offering. Whatever is marked pastor, that's what, you know, goes to us. We've always done that. And we get a salary out of that money, but we don't get money from the general church fund. If you put money in the offering, you don't mark it, it all goes to church. We don't touch it. We don't get that. You can talk to Mo. Mo's an elder here in the church, and Ron's an elder, and we have board meetings every year and talk about it. But, you know, you'd often think that I ought to be real careful and cater to y'all, because if I don't do that, y'all won't give me money, and I won't be blessed. But see, I'm not blessed by what you give. I'm blessed by what I give.
That's right.
Are you with me? And y'all do give. I mean, I thank you for that, but... but if I didn't give, that'd dry up real quick.
Yeah.
It's not what everybody else gives to you or helps you that blesses you. It's what you do and you give that helps you and blesses you.
Yeah.
It's not what everybody else believes. It's what you believe.
Yeah. That's right.
Whatsoever man sows, that shall he also reap. It didn't say whatsoever man receives. No, it says whatsoever he sows, that shall he also reap. That didn't make sense. You'd think he'd say whatever you receive is what you reap, isn't it? But he says, no, whatever you sow, that's what you reap. That's totally different, isn't it? So, you know, I do receive, but I'm a giver. I'm a giver. And my giving determines my prosperity, my blessing. Your giving, thank you for your giving. Don't take this wrong. I'm not unappreciative. I definitely am appreciative to all your gifts. But I'm not dependent. I'm not looking to you. You know what I'm saying? I'm looking to God, and I'm careful that I do my tithes, my offerings, that I give, and I give in faith. And no matter where I would be, if I give and I tithe, God's going to bless me because He said so.
Yes.
And you can too. Maybe everybody's not treating you right, but if you do the right thing, then God will bless you. And the blessing of the Lord will make you rich. And He'll add no sorrow to it. The blessing of the Lord will make you rich. Man, I'm leaning on the blessing. I'm blessed. How about you? couple of you are. Turn to Psalms 1. Let's look at some scriptures, or look on some scriptures, or get the whites of our eyes on some scriptures here concerning this matter. Because I think we need to get it settled. It's because we're unsettled that we're so easily swayed. Because we're unsettled, we're affected by bad news, evil reports, what goes on in the country. Thank God for the United States of America. I love this country, and I pray for this country, and I pray for the leaders of this country. And this country sends out missionaries all around the world. There are people that are going to heaven all around the world because of the United States of America. This is a missions country, always has been, with all of its faults and all of its problems. There are churches across this land that send out missionaries that preach the gospel, that support missionaries around the world. For that, we thank God. Amen? And I'm an American citizen of the United States of America, and I'm proud to be an American. But you know, my prosperity is based on my faith in God, my trust in God. And it's the blessing of the Lord that makes me rich. And this is really, prosperity should be taught everywhere. It should be taught in every church. Churches should prosper. Churches shouldn't be in debt. Churches should be out of debt. Churches should be places that help and give and bless, not places that are continually having to beg and borrow. And are you with me? This is God's house. You know, I know literally I am, but the church is called God's house also, the building is, in the scripture. The house of God. We ought to learn how to act in the house of God, how we should behave in the house of God. Paul calls it that. So this should be a place where people come to and they realize it's a place that's blessed, a place that's prosperous, a place where you can get help if you need help. Amen. So we as Christians, really, we should allow God to bless us so people can see that on us and we can help others. If the blind lead the blind, we both fall in the ditch. That's pure and simple. If we're all poor, we can't help poor people. But the Bible says give to the poor. Isn't that right? So if you're going to give to the poor, then you need to believe God to bless you. That's not a sin to be poor, but it's a sin to stay there. It's not a sin to be without. It's not a sin to be sick. Come on, goodness gracious. But it would be a sin to want to stay sick and not want to get healed. It would be a sin to want to stay poor and not want to get above your means, get to the point where you could help others. I mean, that's this idea of, well, I'm just satisfied that God just blessed my needs. You know, just God meet my needs, just bless my four, no more. You know, that's all I'm concerned about. But we should be concerned about your neighbor. Why would you want to just get your needs met? Why wouldn't you want to have an abundance to help others? That's what the scripture says over and over and over, that he blesses you exceeding abundantly above all that you ask or think. And he'll increase and multiply your seed sown. Woo! Hallelujah. So here he says in Psalms 1, everybody say, I am blessed.
I am blessed.
Okay, now, you got to get straight in your thinking. You're not blessed because of your natural state or situation. It may not look that good at the moment. But you are blessed if you are a Christian. And if you get a hold of the blessing, it'll make you rich. It'll change your natural situation. It will change the situation that you're in. I've been all over the world. Listen, I've preached in India. I've preached in Guatemala. I'm particularly picked out those two countries. I've been in other countries. But people often say, well, you just can't preach that prosperity stuff over in the jungles. You know, oh, yeah, you can. That's what they need to hear.
Yes, they do.
You say, oh, there's no way. They don't even have cars. Well, you know, they could believe God for a bicycle.
That's right.
You know, I've been in all up the coastline of India and the interior of India and the southern part of India and the state of Kerala. Been up in the mountains eating off banana leaves, you know, and spent the night up in the mountains, crossed rivers and preached to Hindu people and where they had no cars. And those ministers, I'll tell you what, if they got a bicycle, that was a blessing. Well, they need to get a hold of faith, get a hold of the word, prosper. And I've seen them do it where they believe God for a bicycle and get one and then go to more villages and preach the gospel to more people.
Right.
And for long, they wind up getting a car. You start where you are. I preached 8 days in the Bataan jungle. We flew in on a plane to Guatemala City, got on a bush plane, flew out into the jungle. They dropped us off in this jungle, and we preached for 8 days in that jungle. It was 1980. I was a young buck. And no cars, no roads, nothing. We just flew into this field and got in a canoe and went up down the river, the Rio de la Pasión, the Passion River, and preached in thatch-roof villages. And I baptized five in the Passion River. You had to hold on to them. You didn't lay them down. You hold on to them, and they just bend their knees, and you go straight down, because if you lay them down, they'd float down the river. The current's too strong. So you just baptize them just right there. And you say, well, how could you preach prosperity there? Well, you could preach they could get another chicken, another pig. They get a canoe to go up down the river. Believe God to get a motor on their canoe.
That's right.
Start where you are, see. But make no mistake about it, God wants to bless you.
Yeah.
Wherever you are, whatever your state is. Are we all going to be millionaires? No, of course not. But God wants to bless us. May not be our calling in that sense, but we can prosper where we are.
That's
right. Glory.
That's right. Amen.
That's faith. Faith goes for more. Faith increases. Faith... You know, why settle for what you're doing for Jesus now? Why not do more for Jesus? Why would we settle in the church for just doing a little? I want to do a bunch for Jesus.
Yeah.
I want to reach more people. Well, it takes money to do that.
Right.
But and we have to get our eyes right, our focus right. The focus should be on Him. Our blessing is from God, and our prosperity is determined by the blessing of the Lord. It makes rich, not the economy. Here in Psalms 1, notice what it says. It says, blessed is the man that walks not in the counsel of the ungodly. That's good. So here's some insight into God blessing us. We don't listen to ungodly counsel.
Right.
There's a lot of ways you can make money that are not legal necessarily. You know, Machiavelli wrote a book called The Prince. And it was a real popular book, you know, years and years ago. And what it boiled down to, he basically was saying that the prince could do whatever he needed to do. The end justified the means. He was the prince. He wasn't really subject to laws that he could do what nobody else could do and on and on and on. And that's why we say when somebody does something crooked to achieve a good end, we'll say something like that's rather Machiavellian, you know, like the prince. We've had presidents that would quote the prince. That always shocked me when they would do that. Because the end does not justify the means. God's just as interested in the means as He is the end. Now, we don't take ungodly counsel. Are you with me? You know what's right and what's wrong. Well, that's Christianity. This is business. Well, I'd submit to you, Christianity should flow through your business. And you should have good, godly, Christian principles in your business. And you don't have to go with a dog-eat-dog attitude to make it in this world. Getting quiet in here. Hello. You can actually believe God, trust God, live for God, be holy, act like a Christian in your business, and prosper. Blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor stands in the way of the sinner, nor sits in the seat of the scornful. Always critical, always skeptical, always scornful. Oh, no, 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 no. We don't do that. We're Christians. We're believers. Praise God. You know, our outlook is real simple. We keep serving God and trusting God and doing what God says. He's going to bless us. Pretty simple outlook. I don't know about everybody else and everything else, but I know God's going to do what He says. He's God of His Word. He loves me. I'm doing what He says to do. I'm doing the best I can to do what He says I'm supposed to do. I'm trusting Him, and it's going to turn out okay because I am trusting God and I'm doing what He said to do. Maybe 1,000 people say don't do it that way, but God said do it that way, and that's the way we're going to do it. And hang in there and don't give up and don't quit. You'll win. Woo! You know, I used to have this philosophy when I was lost. It's a real smart philosophy. It was kind of a convoluted optimism. Use a big word there. I thought I was being pessimistic, but really when you think about it, it was kind of optimistic, but it was twisted. I would think for the worst case scenario, and I knew it would turn out better than that. That's kind of the way I'd look at it. No, I really thought that way. I thought, what's the worst thing that could happen here? And I would just think that and say, okay, we're just going to act like that's what's going to happen. And it'd have to be better than that. Now, I know that's a twisted optimism, because you start acting like that, you generally get the worst.
Mm-hmm.
Are you with me? But we are Christians. We are eternal optimists.
Yeah.
You shouldn't think that way. Think for the worst. Prepare for the worst in that sense. No, you just believe God's going to turn out just like He said it would. Hallelujah. We're blessed. I'm not cursed. The worst is not going to happen. The best is going to happen. You know where fear comes from? Believing for the worst. Fear comes from things that have not happened that we're believing are going to happen. And 9 times out of 10, they don't happen even in the natural. And if you'll start believing God more and more and more, they won't happen. You start trusting God. Blessed is the man that walks not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor stands in the way of the sinner, nor sits in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord. And in his law doth he meditate day and night. Oh, that's a vast difference than the news. Meditating in the Word day and night. Hallelujah. I know what the news says, but what does God say? I know what's going on in the stock market. What's going on in God's market over here? I'm not trusting the lady luck. I'm trusting on the Father's favor. Hallelujah. So whatever's going on in your life, get in the Word, meditate in it day and night. Because you're affected by what you hear. You're just a sponge. You're going to soak up what you're around. You're just, not insulting now, but you're just dirt. You're just going to grow what's sown in you. That's all we are, is a garden. And whatever seeds get in us are going to grow. So be careful what we put in us. Careful what we listen to. We need to listen to the Word. Amen. I'm blessed. Can't be cursed. I'm blessed coming in and going out, in the storehouse, in the field, the fruit of by the fruit of my kind flocks, my sheep. I'm blessed. My basket and my store. He causes the rain to come down my land in its season. He blesses all the work of my hand. Hallelujah. I lend to many nations and shall not borrow. That's what God says, Deuteronomy 28, first 14 verses. So here says, he shall be he. Everybody say he.
He.
He who?
Me.
Me, the blessed man. Who's the blessed man? The one that doesn't walk in the counsel of the ungodly, nor stand in the way of the sinner, nor sit in the seat of the scornful. See, you don't hang around those kind of people. That's it. That's why we need church. That's why we need to get in fellowship together. Because you're going to pick up things from people that you're around. That's just natural. I mean, we're all that way. We need to recognize that. We all have those limitations. You know, it's cautious who you work with. Cautious who you go in business with. I know sometimes you can't control all those things. If you're an employee. But be sure and pray. Pray. If you're hooked up with someone that's just, you know, ungodly, negative, always talking, going under, not making it. You know, some people, you don't want to ask them how they're doing. I mean, really, you just don't, I don't want to, and I know I've got some people pegged, I don't ask them how they're doing. I just walk up to them and say, well, God bless you, good to see you, instead of how are you. There are certain people, I'll say, how are you, how you doing, you know, because I know, you know, they're going, well, I'm blessed, praise God, doing great, you know, whatever. I mean, that's not to say you can't talk about going through a situation, but let's have a little faith about it when we go through it. You know, Proverbs 18:21 says, death and life are in the power of the tongue, and they that love it shall eat the fruit thereof. You know, some people just love to be negative. You ever been around anybody that just loves to be negative? They start talking, they're going to start criticizing, stop being negative. They're going to talk. They're not going to talk positive. They pride themselves in being so negative. But the problem with that is, they that love it shall eat the fruit thereof. So you're going to eat the fruit of what you love, and what you don't want to do is, you know, be negative. Always talk down. Always talk problem. Always talk, you know, not going to make it. Always talk the negative side of the thing. You need to accentuate the positive. How's that song go? What is that? How's that go, friend?
Illuminate.
Yeah.
Negative.
Yeah. Accentuate the positive. Yeah. That's what we need to do. We don't need to develop our negatives. Are you with me? And fear is the dark room, and doubt is the dark room where you develop your negatives. Don't develop them. Develop your positives. Well, that's going to take hanging around some people that are positive, that start talking the Word. You know, we're blessed. Hallelujah. So he says this, he says, he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that brings forth its fruit in its season, whose leaf also shall not wither, and whatever he does will prosper. Well, who is that he? That he is me. He be me. And he be you. Or she or whoever, you know. If I am the one that is blessed by God, the blessing of the Lord makes rich, hath no sorrow to it, then I'm going to prosper, praise God. And it doesn't matter about the economy. And it doesn't matter about all the gloom, doom, naysayers. All that matters is God does not change. Hallelujah. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. He is the Lord God. He changes not. Woo! Hallelujah. Psalms 34. Honestly, we're going to go through a few scriptures here, but we wouldn't have enough time to go through the scriptures that talk about how God wants to bless you and how that you are blessed by virtue of your trust in Him. You know, I am saved. Nothing that goes on in the world is going to change that. I am saved. I have put my trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. I have His Word on that, and I have that witness in my heart. I am blessed. Nothing in this world is going to change that. If I don't change my trust, if I keep my faith and my trust in Him, then I am blessed. Woo! I wish y'all would settle down and let me preach this message. Y'all are all these interruptions, you know. Psalms 34. My goodness, I mean the whole psalm would be great. But look at the 8th verse. Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man who trusts in Him. See, now, if you were to question this, let's just follow that logic out here for a minute here. Blessed is the man that trusts in Him. I trust Him. How about you? You trust in Him? Okay. So, according to God's Word, you're blessed. Isn't that right? Well, Pastor, I just don't feel blessed. I don't think I'm blessed. Well, the only reason you wouldn't be blessed is because you wouldn't be trusting in Him. Are you with me? Well, why do you always say you're blessed? Because I trust in Him. Well, I just don't think I am. Well, maybe you're not trusting in Him. Let's read that again because I don't think y'all got it. It says, blessed is the man who trusts in Him. Look at the next verse. Oh, fear the Lord, you His saints. There is no want or lack to those who fear Him. Hey, how about that next one? The young lions do lack and suffer hunger, but those who seek the Lord shall not lack any good thing.
Yeah.
Woo-hoo! Glory. I mean, you ever feel like, there are times that you and I don't feel like we're blessed. Yeah. It doesn't look like we're blessed. That checkbook's not agreeing with the Word on this deal. You know, things are not coming up roses, as it were. And you're tempted to look at that, and because that checkbook says that, because that, are you with me? Because those bills say that, and we're not talking about being irresponsible. Let's believe God to get those bills paid. We're not saying deny them and don't pay them. No, no, no. But they are not, they're not the truth. They may be facts, but this is the truth. The facts may be that that checkbook is small. The facts may be that those bills aren't paid. But the truth will trump the facts every time. The truth is you're blessed, and if you keep hold on the truth, you can change the facts. And the truth is, if I trust Him, I'm blessed. Oh, it may not look like it, but you know what? It says so right here. Yeah. Blessed is the man who trusts in Him. Well, I trust Him. I don't know how in the world He's going to do it. I don't know. I've run out of options in the natural, but I trust God. I trust God. And since I trust Him, I'm blessed. Man, I've done everything I know to do. I don't know what else to do here. I don't know what I've looked at all the options. I don't see any. But you know what the Bible says? If I trust Him, I'm blessed. So I'm just going to trust Him. Let Him figure it out. He's pretty good at figuring it out. He's got a million ways of blessing you never even thought about. I mean, you can be at the absolute end of your rope. Tie a knot and hold on. Don't let go. Because if you trust God, you'll be blessed. He'll do it. Ways you never even dreamed of. Things you never even thought of. Impossible situations. That's what He delights in. Hallelujah.
Yeah.
Psalms 112. Turn there. These are not deep scriptures. This is just kind of a refresher course. Sometimes we have to slap ourselves. I remember my dad was in the military, so I moved around a little bit. I was born in Center, Texas, and subsequently when we retired, we moved back to Center, Texas, and I'm from Center, Texas. But I did live I lived in Alabama for a while. I actually lived in Germany when I was just a little kid. I don't remember much about it because I was 2 years old. We moved there and turned 5 on the ship home. You know, we took a ship back in those days. And we lived in Alabama for a while. In Alabama, when I went to school in Alabama, if you said, and I was like in elementary school in Alabama, if you said any form of God, gosh golly gee, any of those words, that was considered a cuss word in elementary school in South Alabama in the 60s, early 60s, you know. I mean, they didn't put up, those teachers, you didn't say golly or gosh. He didn't say, boy, have times changed. Here I am saying it right here in the pulpit. But you didn't even say that. That was a form of God, and that was like a cuss word. And if you ever said something like that in the classroom, the teacher would have you stand up and slap yourself. I mean, literally. Oh, son, little Williams, stand up right now and slap yourself. I remember I used to slap myself all the time, man. I'd go like it. I said slap yourself, son. Now, you'd have to hit yourself pretty hard and leave a marker. It wouldn't do any good. And nobody got, took to court on that either. I mean, you know, no child abuse, no lawyers involved. You slap yourself. And if daddy found out, you got another slapping when you got home. Are you with me? But I think sometimes we got to slap ourselves. What's that old commercial where they, thanks, I needed that, where you'd slap them? It was a shaving cream commercial or a shaving lotion. I don't remember what it was. But everybody, they would say, thanks, I needed that,
Yeah.
Is that commercial where you slap them? Well, I'm going to tell you something. Sometimes we need that. We need to wake up because we are getting that. We get down in the dumps. We get negative. We get to, we just kind of get lulled into the song the world is singing. Before long, it's on our lips. We're singing it. And we've got to slap ourselves.
Yeah.
We got to wake up. Come on, we're blessed. We are blessed and can't be cursed. Hallelujah. The blessing of the Lord makes rich. And he has no sorrow with it. Hallelujah. Praise God. And I'm blessed because I don't walk in the counsel of the ungodly. I don't stand in the way of the sinner. I don't sit in the seat of the scornful. My delight is in the law of the Lord. And in his law I do meditate day and night. And I am like a tree planted by the rivers of living water that brings forth its fruit in the season. My leaf also shall not wither, and whatever I do shall prosper. Hallelujah.
Yeah, amen.
That's what God says about it. And I trust in him, and blessed is the man that trusts in the Lord. How you doing? I'm blessed. Really? Yes, I am. I'm trusting God. I can't help but be blessed. That's all I am, is blessed. I can't be cursed. I'm trusting the Lord. Psalms 112. Notice what it says here. Starts out, praise the Lord. Well, that's a good one. That'll get you out of the dumps. When you're down the lowest, shout the loudest. That's what Brother Osteen used to always say, our pastor. Well, I'm just so down. Well, shout loud. Praise the Lord. Not that you're down, but that you're coming up. Actually, the truth be known, you should never be down. You should either be up or getting up. Catching that? Now, I heard that saying years ago. A guy said, I'm never down. I'm either up or I'm getting up. In other words, he might have got knocked down, but he didn't stay down. He was getting up. Always in the act of getting up. Or he's up. Hallelujah. Okay. Praise the Lord. Blessed is the man who fears the Lord, who delights greatly in his commandments. His descendants will be mighty on the earth. The generation of the upright will be blessed. Well, I guess really, when the psalmist wrote this, he wasn't thinking about 2011. Probably wasn't. I mean, I appreciate that. It's a good word and everything, but he probably wasn't thinking about, where we are now in the world, the geopolitical state of the world that we're in. I mean, that was well and good back then, maybe, but hello? Does he put a timetable on this? I don't see that anywhere. It just says the generation of the upright, if we're upright, we'll be blessed. It says, blessed is the man who fears the Lord. I fear God. Well, I'm blessed. He doesn't put a time on that. He doesn't put a locale on that. It's not about what country you're in, what time you live in. No, it's about your heart, about whether you fear God or not, whether you trust God or not, whether you respect and honor him and serve him. If you do, you're blessed. Hallelujah. Don't let the devil steal your blessing. I mean, that'd be like saying, I'm not saved, when God says I am saved. Yeah, but they're saying, well, it doesn't matter what they say. I mean, it's what God says. Right, God over here in the Bible says, I'm saved. Yeah, but I heard on the news, it doesn't matter what's on the news. This is what Are you listening? This is what God says. See, there's all kinds of reports. The question is, whose report are you going to believe?
That's right.
I'm going to believe the report of the Lord. Hallelujah. The generation of the upright will be blessed. I believe that. I believe God is not a man that he'd lie, nor the son of man he'd repent. Wealth and riches will be in his house. I believe that. I believe that. I'm that man. Praise God. You're that man, that woman. You are. If you trust God and you're upright and you fear God, just in these few scriptures we've gone through here tonight, and there are many, many others, just in these few scriptures, you can lay claim to what God says. You say, well, that'd be kind of selfish, wouldn't it? No more selfish than laying claim to salvation when you were lost. No more selfish than that. You know, a lot of people say, well, I think it'd be kind of greedy of me to ask God to help me in that area. Well, you didn't have any problem asking him to save you, did you? Yeah, but I mean, when I talk about money, there's people that need it a whole lot more than I need it. Oh, you didn't think there's people that need to go to heaven more than you need to go to heaven? Hello? It's like God only has a limited amount, and you're afraid you'll use up something somebody else could have had. But God doesn't have a limited amount. God's got enough for everybody. He's got enough salvation for everybody. And when you got saved, you didn't knock anybody out of the picture. There were people that probably need to be saved more than you did. Well, I debate that. I think we all need to be saved. But even if that were the case, you didn't take away from anybody's salvation when you got saved. He has plenty more of it. And you're not going to take away anybody's healing by believing for healing. He's got plenty of healing. And you're not going to take away anybody's prosperity by believing him bless you and your household. In fact, it is up to you to believe him for it. He is telling you to ask him for it and stand on his word and to trust him for it. He says, blessed are those that trust me. Woo! And if we ever need to trust him, we need to trust him in this day and hour we live in. We need to put our trust in him, our eyes on him, our focus on him, and say it loud and say it proud. We're blessed because we trust God. Amen. Third verse says, wealth and riches will be in his house, and his righteousness endures forever. Man, I'm not going to read the whole psalm because I'll start teaching on that psalm. I just want to bring that out, that if you're upright and you fear the Lord, you're blessed. God said that. I didn't say that. Are you with me? Do you really think so? No, I don't think so. I know so. That's what God says. So you're telling me, well, I know I'm not telling you. God's telling you. There is a difference between taking my word for it and taking God's word for it.
Right.
Amen. And oh, I hope, you know, and I say this often, but I hope you don't come and just listen to what I have to say and not listen to what God has to say. If I said something to help you, it might help you a little bit, day or two, week, month, whatever. But if it might help you, and you might get something out of what I say if you're just listening to me. But if you listen to what God's saying and you take it as God's word, it'll change your life. It'll help you for a lifetime. And see, my job as a minister is to point you to him. Not point you to my opinion, not point you to my logic, my reasoning, my intelligence, you know, what I've surmised, even my experiences. But my job as a minister is to point you to him, point you to Jesus, and get you to put your faith and your trust in him, where you're not out there saying, well, the pastor says, the pastor. No, you say, the scripture says in Psalms 112, verse 1, 2, and 3. The scripture says in Psalms 1, you're quoting the scripture. Amen. And I believe the scripture. I believe God. Woo. I love what Billy Graham said, you know, to that journalist that asked him about a young Jewish man who served in Judaism, was faithful in his Jewish faith, and died without accepting Jesus Christ as the Lord and Savior. And the journalist asked Billy Graham, he says, Billy Graham, are you saying, Reverend Billy Graham, are you saying that he would go to hell because he did not accept Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior? And he says, no, I am not saying that. That's what Jesus said. John 14:6, he said, I am the way, the truth, the life. No man comes to the Father but by me. What I am saying, what Reverend Billy Graham is saying, is that I believe what Jesus said. You have to make your choice whether you believe what Jesus said or not.
Amen.
That's what Reverend Billy Graham is saying. I love that answer. You know, so this comes down to this too. I'm not trying to say anything. I'm just telling you what the Bible says, amen? But what you've got to do is decide whether you believe what the Bible says.
That's good. Yeah.
You know, when I first heard this and read this. I had to make that decision. We all have to make those decisions. Are we going to believe what we're hearing on the news? Are we going to believe what we're hearing at the gas pump? Are we going to believe what someone else is saying? Are we going to believe what God says? God says we're blessed. Hallelujah. Turn to Luke. Get into a New Testament scripture here. I am blessed. Yeah. Glory to God. Luke 1. This course is just awesome, the Luke 1, where it talks about Mary. You know, Gabriel visited Mary and announced to her that she would bear the Son of God. And she said, how shall these things be? And he says, the Holy Ghost will overshadow you, and that thing which shall be born of you shall be of God, be of the Holy Ghost. And then she said this amazing thing. She said, well, be it unto me according to your word. I love that. I preach a message sometimes around Christmas, not every year, but sometimes I'll preach it about how the word became flesh. And then I just spin off that saying, how the word becomes flesh, because the Bible does tell us in the beginning was the word, and the word was God, the word was with God. John 1, 1 and 2. And in the 14th verse it said, the word became flesh and dwelt among us. We beheld his glory, the glory of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace, full of truth. The law came by Moses, grace and truth came by Jesus Christ. And the question would be, well, how did the word become flesh? Because Jesus was the fulfillment, the embodiment of the word. All those prophecies for, 4,000 years were embodied in him, and they became flesh and dwelt among us. We were looking at the living word when we looked at Jesus. Well, how did that happen? Another question is, how do we get these words, these promises, a promise of health, promise of life, promise of salvation, promise of peace, promise of joy? They're words, okay? How do we get those words to become flesh and dwell among us when we behold the glory of it? Good question. How do we translate this, the word, into our practical daily lives? How do we get these words to come alive in our lives? How do we get this peace that's promised? How do we get this joy that's promised? How do we get this prosperity that's promised? How do those words become flesh and dwell among us for us to behold the glory of them, to feel them, touch them, and handle them? The word of life. How does that happen? Well, it's pretty simple. You just do what Mary did. Mary said, be it unto me according to your word. Isn't that right? Know what she did? So she said, okay, you say all that, and that's the promise you're making. I agree with it. Be it unto me according to your word. She agreed. She believed. And because she believed, that word, that promise, became flesh, and Jesus was born. You saying she had to believe for Jesus to be born? Through her, yes. If she had rejected that annunciation, God would have had God to someone else. But she didn't. She accepted it, and she said, be it unto me according to thy word. Now, in Luke, the first chapter, it says this, when she visited her cousin Elizabeth. Y'all remember Lizzie? John, the Baptist's mother. They were cousins, older. She was quite a bit older than Mary. When Mary walked in to visit her, she was Elizabeth was 6 months with child. John the Baptist had already 6 months in her womb. And the Bible says the babe leaped in his womb. And she began to prophesy. It was filled with the Holy Ghost. And she began to prophesy. Ooh, Shanda, Tolio, Reba, Tata. And she began to prophesy. And she said several things. And notice what she said in the 45th verse, first chapter. Blessed is she who believed. Who's blessed? She. Why? Because she believed. So if I believe, I'm blessed, right? Blessed is the man that trusts in him. We read that over in the Old Testament here. But it says, blessed is she who believed, for there will be a fulfillment of those things which were told her from the Lord. Wow. 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 For emphasis, three times. That is such a powerful verse. We read that and we just go right past that. It's so simple and so profound. If you want these words to become flesh, then you're going to have to believe them. If you want these words to be done, fulfilled, King James says there shall be a performance of those things that were told her by the Lord. If you want God to perform His Word, if you want God to fulfill His Word to you now, to you specifically. Then you have to believe. And if you believe, there will be a performance of those things that were told you from the Lord. And if you believe, there will be a fulfillment of those things which are told you from the Lord. And what that's going to equate out to, what that's going to mean is that you are blessed.
Yeah. Woo.
Simply by believing God.
Yeah.
No matter what's going on in the world, no matter what the world is saying, no matter what the economic doom, gloom forecasters, prognosticators are saying, no matter what's going on in your country, your city, your town, your family, no matter what you could look at and point at that says to the contrary, if God says you're blessed and you trust Him, then you're going to be blessed and you're going to see a fulfillment of what He says in your life.
Amen.
You'll see a performance.
Yeah.
I always like to say this, I've seen what I can do and I don't want an encore, but I would like to see God perform my life.
Exactly.
And you know what God wants to perform in my life? He wants to perform His Word, but it requires that I believe. It requires that I lay claim to them. That I say, yes, I am blessed because I trust God. It may not look like, but I am blessed. I am blessed. The blessing of the Lord makes me rich and He adds no sorrow with it. I am blessed like a tree planted by the rivers of living water. I am blessed because I trust in Him. My generation is blessed. Wealth and riches are in my house. I believe what God has said concerning me and my household. Oh, 1,000 may fall at my side and 10,000 at my right hand, but it'll not come nigh me. Only with my eye will I see the reward of the wicked. No, I put my trust in Him. Because I trust in Him, He bears me up in His hands. Hallelujah. Lest I dash my foot against a stone. I'm blessed. He surrounds me with favor like a shield.